This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Good evening and welcome to the Brit Rest Roundtable number 12. I'm Arnold Furious. With me this evening are Rob Reed.
Hello again.
And Ollie Korth.
Hey there.
So it's the Three Musketeers back again. This week we'll be talking about the much-hyped OTT triple threat match. We'll be talking about RevPro's new on-demand service. We'll be previewing the 16-carat gold tournament from WXW this coming weekend, and we'll be doing some other little bits and pieces as well. But to start with, I'm going to throw over to Ollie, who's going to talk about OTT.
Yeah, Overtop Wrestling from Ireland. They've been getting a lot of buzz as of late, and their R-Ted show back in February got maybe R-Ted. The most buzz of all. R-Ted. Alan Forel, he obviously was a big proponent of it, being Irish himself. And the triple threat match, but main event of that show, of Ryan Smile, Will Ospreay, and Pete Dunne, really like a much hyped match for them, and really delivered in terms of in ring quality. But like, and it brought OTT to a new audience, I think it's fair to say. A lot of people wouldn't have known who they were, or I only had really seen the posters, or when Alan had been talking about them or tweeting about them. This is the first show I'd ever seen, so for that it was a big success for them, in that it got them a lot more publicity than they otherwise would have got. Did you guys, either of you guys, see the triple threat or the entire show?
I'm a filthy cheapskate, so I didn't actually buy it, but then I didn't have time to watch it in the end anyway, so
Yeah, I saw the main event. Didn't have time to watch the whole show, but it was definitely the most hype match I've ever, you know, the promotion's ever had. It's a relatively new promotion, but while before I was aware of them, this was the first match that got enough hype from the live crowd that I sorted out.
Yeah, definitely. It was for the OTT No Limits Championship. I believe that's a top championship, or it might not be. They might have
yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay, so Dunn is like a established heel there, and Smile established face, so role reversal from what I'm used to seeing them as in England. Ospreay, this is like his first appearance for them, and like much hyped, obviously, with Ospreay going to New Japan soon and generally just killing it around the UK, coming to Ireland. He was treated like a big star, so this was a really much hype match, and I think it delivered entirely on the hype. What do you think, Rob? Like, do you think the hype was justified?
I really didn't. I could understand why it was loved live. It was like a crazy triple threat, loads of big spots, but on tape I thought it came across really sloppy. And those are the, you had a couple of big botches, especially towards the end, that really killed the flow of the match for me. And also there were one or two bits where you had someone waiting around for the third person to like get in the ring and do something to them. There was one spot where Ospreay, I forget the exact move, but he did like a flipping senton or something. And then he sat up, and he was just waiting there for like 3 or 4 seconds, just sat up, not doing anything, just waiting. And then eventually Ryan Smile got in the ring and super kicked him. And like, those are the sort of things that when you're there live, you don't quite pick up on as much, I find. But on tape, it As I said, it killed the flow of the match for me. I still found it enjoyable, but not up there with Ospreay's better work.
It was certainly like a crazy spot first match designed for the live crowd to enjoy. So like, obviously,
it's really good as a highlights tape, because they had like a highlights video thing up on like as a preview for it. It looked really good then.
I think generally it flowed pretty well. I didn't notice as much awkwardness as you noticed, Rob. But it was, I think it flowed generally pretty well. There was one botch towards the end where Ospreay was doing like the springboard stuff and maybe going for a reverse Rana on Smile, I think, and they just kind of collapsed and just started trading elbows instead to get to the next spot, which kind of brought down the ending for me. But generally I thought it was just a very good crazy match, and I think it perfectly suited to all three guys' styles. Like, Dunn got to play the heel, cutting off the other two high flyers, ruining the fun. Smile kept up with Ospreay. He's one of the few people who really can, and Ospreay, you know, he's imperious right now. He can do no wrong. So definitely really enjoyable. A few awkward moments, but I didn't. I'm gonna bury here, Rob, and say you're a nitpicker, but I generally didn't nitpick it as much as
I
you
am.
Did.
Yeah, it did a lot of the big things right, but I am someone who is pretty picky in their wrestling. And there was just enough that annoyed me that took it down from that top must see level. I mean, I still enjoyed it quite a lot. Say about 3.5 stars. So by no means anywhere near a bad match. It was definitely a good match, but
I have to just interject there and say that Rob's star ratings are not kind of on a line with everyone else's. So it's probably a bit higher than that. I don't know anyone else that rates as stingily as you.
TJ Hawk rates.
Oh, TJ Hawk, but he does it sort of in. I wouldn't say he was roundly stingy. I'd say he was specifically stingy to when something really riles him, like no selling and stuff. He's more focused in his stinginess. I think you have more of a wide range of stinginess.
I mean, I can counter that stinginess by going 4.5 on this. Like, I would say I don't like quarter stars, so I could cop out and give it 4.25, but I feel like
I never understand that.
As I explained to you before, the difference having a quarter star is there to differentiate between a 4.5 star match and a 4 star match. If it's in between, that's what it is.
But then
do get into the what if you're halfway between 4 and 4.25, but Star Talk, the best podcast,
of course. I'll go positive and go 4.5 because I think like the occasion of the match and like the buzz it had received and the crowd especially responsive.
The crowd, I'd say, is a major highlight from that.
The crowd were crazy throughout the whole show for basically everyone, and just
like
how responsive they were. Some of them may never have seen Ospreay live before. I think special. I would describe this match as. Certainly, maybe not the best match all three of them have ever had, but like just a crazy match, and I think it's worth going out of your way to see, and worth buying the rest of the show to see if the company appeals to you.
Would you say the standard was any good across the rest of the show?
We'll talk about the rest of the show now. I would say it's very much in the mold of ICW Attitude Era stuff that plays to the local crowd, certainly. In the same vein as ICW's very Glasgow centric, this is very Ireland centric. Like, you got like Irish comedians running in the middle of a match, like dressed as like Catholic priests and like. Attempting to deck a woman who calls herself the Session Moth. So, I had to guess what Session Moth meant, but I had to Google Urban Dictionary it just to make sure.
It's always good when you learn something from a wrestling show.
I think the match quality in general was all right, like as far as a mid-level indie goes. Most of it was comedy based. You got acts like the lads from the flats, think Grado, but
I've seen the lads from the flats. They're quite entertaining.
I enjoyed them. I think they were the best act on the undercard for me. They had that kind of crossover appeal where they could do comedy but also like get people invested in the match. And I think their opponents, who were the Kings of the North, were very good heels as well. So that was my favorite match on the undercard. I wasn't really feeling stuff like the Session Moth and the Fabulous Nikki, but it's not really aimed at me. So there we go. It might appeal to other people, and if you give it a go, then like I would certainly recommend giving it a go in case it is for you.
It from the little I saw as I was flicking through the rest of the show, it definitely felt like something very, very Irish.
definitely.
In the same way, ICW is like a product tailor-made for Scotland, and if you're not in Scotland, you perhaps lose a little bit. I think I got the same sort of feel from OTT, if that makes sense. Mm.
And like the angle they ran in the semi-main event, where like the Wards were like beating each other up for kind of no reason, and it was sort of just meant to be like a family in-flight, and then they sort of made up afterwards and then challenged. The British pair of Charlie Garrett and T-Bone to come and sing God Save the Queen like they did last time. And then, yeah, just very like Irish.
I imagine that got quite a lot of haste.
Yeah. So in general, I thought, fun show, maybe not for me, but I'm glad I at least gave it a go. And the main event, like, fantastic. So I would say it's worth going to see just to see what people are talking about, what we're talking about. And yeah, it's put them on the map, certainly.
And they've newly got a... they've newly started releasing shows on Vimeo On Demand, so you don't have to get the DVD and ship it over whatever sea is in between you and Ireland.
Is this a cunning segue into the On Demand chatter?
It wasn't actually intentional, but it does work rather well, so I guess we'll move over. So yeah, RevPro also launched a new on-demand service. Previously, they were also on Vimeo On Demand, which is you buy each show individually. They've moved over to a streaming service. Well, I say they've moved over. They're actually keeping their old one for if some people prefer that method. I'm not sure why you would, but some people are attached to downloading shows, I guess. But they're moving over to PivotShare, which is the same service as Progress Runs. And for £6 a month, you can get full access to all their archive of shows, which runs back actually past the start of RevPro and slightly into IPW UK, which was what they kind of were born out of. And then IPW UK came back. There was a bit of a split. So they've got a few years of IPW UK in their archival footage, and then all of RevPro, including all the York Hall shows. So if you're someone who's been waiting to dive into all the hyped York Hall matches, this is perfect for you. And they're also going to be releasing their new season 2 of RevPro TV through PivotShare.
Does that mean I'm not doing it through YouTube anymore, or?
I think that's definitely the impression I get. That what they're doing is they're going to be putting up the show for free on PivotShare for, I think it's 3 days? Yeah, 72 hours for free on PivotShare, and after that it will become
part of the archive.
You have to be a subscriber. Yeah. So very similar to what Ring of Honor actually does on their website with their free membership and their paid membership, where you can watch the current episode on Ring of Honor TV on their website for free. And then if you want to watch, if you miss an episode and want to go back and watch it, you have to sign up. Which does also mean that RevPro TV is coming back, which is nice to know because they'd they taped a bunch of stuff for it and then suddenly stopped airing it.
I'm sure there were due to be some really good matches in there as well. I remember talking about stuff that they were going to tape, and then it's never seen the light of day.
Well, they actually put it all up. I think they're like trying to wipe the slate clean somewhat. They had 3.5 shows worth of tapings worth of shows in the bank, and they put up the first 1.5 shows just as like on demand archival footage, so that they're more caught up. So now they're only 2 tapings behind. So they've just put them up as shows rather than as RevPro TVs, and they had matches like Mark Haskins versus Marty Scurll in a pretty good match, not quite the same level of their progress match, but pretty good. And then also ACH versus Ospreay, which was about in the same area. Yeah.
Should we recommend some matches that are on there? I think it's probably just going to be stuff that we've been talking about for the last year or so. Obviously, the first one would be Shinsuke Nakamura and Zack Sabre Jr. would be on there. That's from slightly further back, so we probably didn't talk about that so much because it wasn't last year. So that would be summer 2014?
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
Let me just get it up. Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. Obviously, AJ Styles, his run there, the Ospreay match, the Skrull match, the triple threat.
Mm. You can watch Ospreay's like ascension as he grows. From
Ospreay, there's Ospreay everywhere.
Swords of Essex, flippy dude, to the best in the UK.
And of course, our super hyped Skrull versus Ospreay match from 2 months ago, which Dave Meltzer went 4.75 stars on, by the way.
If you go to the Voice of Wrestling forums and you go to the RPW thread, I've actually got I put together a list of recommended matches since through all their archival footage. So that's since 2009, with the IPW UK stuff as well. And here's just a few matches I've picked out. I haven't actually seen all of them, but some of them look so good on paper that I can't imagine they're not worth seeking out. Mm. So
they'd have something like Morishima Mastiff on there, I think.
They've got Brian Danielson versus Pac, the currently Neville, which sounds great, from 2009. Pac and Haskins versus Skrull and Zack Sabre Jr., also from 2009. Skrull and Zack Sabre Jr. versus El Generico and Paul London. Future Shock, so Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Leaders, Skrull and Sabre Jr. The Young Bucks versus the Leaders from 2011. Johnny Gargano versus Zack Sabre Jr. 2012. Prince Devitt versus Marty Skrull versus Zack Sabre Jr. 2013. Young Bucks versus Project Ego 2014, 2 Unlimited versus Ospreay and McCluskey, which I thought was actually Ospreay's breakout performance. That was also Summer Sizzler 2014. And then since then, I think you've caught all of them apart from Okada Aries. Definitely
and
a match worth.
Kushida and Kyle O'Reilly that we saw live as well, that was really good. Yes. Rivaling the Super Juniors final, I'd say.
Definitely. Definitely. One of my favourite matches from anywhere last year.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of stuff to check out. It's also made the price point on RevPro even lower, so you've got even less of an excuse to to avoid checking out some of the hype matches. Yeah,
it's just going to add
a great
to the
move,
pile
I think.
Of monthly subscription services I now have. It's I'm spoilt for choice. Yeah, I wish PWG would do one, but
yeah, I'm glad they're there though, because no one's forcing you to subscribe, apart from maybe me telling you what to watch for this podcast. But in general, there's no one forcing you to subscribe.
But you should.
And It's cheaper for a month than to get one VOD off Vimeo, so even if every time you would have brought the VOD, you just subscribe for a month, it's cheaper and you're getting access to more. So a great move, I think. And speaking of RevPro, last podcast we mentioned they'd announced Shibata for the Summer Sizzler. They've also now announced that Tomohiro Ishii is coming back.
Oh. Can't wait. And tickets are on sale now, I believe. So.
And that's been selling very well, I've heard.
Yeah, but the front row sold out.
Three rows sold out in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a row 3 seat. Can't wait to just watch Shibata and Ishii kill some people.
My exam timetable doesn't come out, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to attend yet. Comes out later this month. Hopefully there'll still be tickets by then. Who would you guys like to see face Shibata and Ishii? Because
we talked a bit about the Shibata match last time, and I think Mark Haskins was a prevailing name for Ishii, though.
I was also
not sure
For Tommy End.
Oh yeah.
I'm never a huge fan of End in singles matches. I love him in a tag team, but I find he doesn't quite work in singles matches unless they're sprints, like sub 10 minute. And I doubt this match would be that. So, but Haskins, I'd definitely be behind.
Will Ospreay versus Ishii would be a pretty
That's
special.
Exactly the match I was thinking of.
I'd like them to pick somebody he can kind of throw around a bit more.
Mm.
While I kind of enjoyed the match with Damo, I'd like to see him against someone smaller. Any of the top guys, really.
Naito's matches with Ishii from this year and then from 2014. Is that right?
Yeah.
The beginning of 2014.
The one they just had was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I could see Ospreay's having a very similar style match as that, and they were tremendous. So I think Skrull could also be good, but I think Ospreay would definitely be my person I'm hoping for anyway.
Yeah, my favourite Ishii match ever was his match against Ibushi, and he only ever had one of them. But Ospreay is similar in style to Ibushi, and he has that same kind of like crazy kamikaze fight in him, which I think he would bring to Ishii really well. So that's a dynamic that I would want to see. So
Tanahashi called him the English Ibushi. So yeah, you and him are in line on that comparison.
And speaking of Will Ospreay, I don't think we've mentioned it on the podcast, but he's officially part of New Japan now, and he joined Chaos last week in
the
little video that they ran.
For me.
It shows that they're
going there, but Chaos is a very big surprise.
It shows that they're like firmly behind him. Like they want him to be a big part of a roster and like a permanent part of a roster. He's not just a special attraction. He is like someone they want to get behind and keep around for a while. So that's very exciting.
It's really interesting to see them rebuilding. I love the way that they're seeing the company lose. Any company that loses top guys and has to like replace them, they make interesting decisions. And New Japan have made some really interesting ones.
And he's going straight into an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match on April the 10th with Kushida. So
that should be really good.
Immediate push for Ospreay. No toiling around in undercard tags. He's a star for them.
I don't know anything concrete, but I'm under the impression that he's going to be around in New Japan about as much as the Young Bucks are, which I think is a good amount for him. It will let him still be work the UK and PWG in the same way the Bucks still work Ring of Honor. But he's going to be regular enough over there to really build up a name for himself.
It's exciting times for him.
Would this be the first time that like a British wrestler has been like pushed this heavily in Japan, or at least the first time since like Dynamite Kid or whatever? Because Sabre Jr. was never pushed heavily at all in Noah. Like he was strictly undercard tags or junior tag champion.
Pac had a decent run over in Dragon Gate.
Yeah.
Jody Fleisch for Michinoku Pro, but in terms of big companies,
Doug Williams got a little bit of a push in Noah. didn't get pushed to the moon or anything, but
tag title
run or two, didn't he?
But yeah, like as far as coming in at the on a top level in the biggest company, it's a hell of a rub for Ospreay. A really big debut.
What do you think about Chaos as a fit for him? Because for me, the kind of running theme through Chaos is that they're kind of, at this point, they're not heels anymore. They're more like cocky faces. That's kind of their theme that runs through them as a group. And while that kind of fits Ospreay, if you're looking at like the pattern that he's been in promotions, he usually comes in as like the kind of nervous, slightly uncomfortable, plucky baby face. And then once he's been in there for a while, he develops more of a cocky side to himself. And, you know, as much as we all love RevPro and even PWG, it's a big step up to be going over to New Japan. So you'd have to imagine he's at least slightly nervous. Do you think he'll be able to pull off the cocky side of himself right out the gates?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've watched the way that he's developed over the last, I would say 2 years, but even just the last 12 months, he's gotten so much better. I think he's got that much confidence in his own ability that he can go in there and get the job done. Kushida's going to be a real easy guy for him to work with. So it's a good place to start. And having Okada endorse him as well, that's just makes life easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Okada's trying to rebuild Chaos kind of with him as the focal point. So he's bringing his own guys in to kind of add to it. And having Ospreay as the first guy, that's a big deal for him. But yeah, he's definitely ready for it.
With the Chaos thing, you have to look at who Chaos are going to be facing over the coming months, presumably. And with the Los Ingobernables lineup, Okada matches with Naito, Ishii matches with Evil, but there's no junior guy in Chaos to match with Bushi. So that's just what I'm thinking, they're thinking. But like Ospreay can be that sixth man in a potential six-man tag, or face Bushi down the line for the title, if that's where they want to go with it.
He's going to be in for the Super Juniors, is he?
Yeah.
And maybe even the Super J.
Oh, the Super J, of course, is in August. First one in like 7 years, so that would be another big opportunity for him to shine, because he could easily put a run together in that.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting times for Will Ospreay. Yeah.
Will Ospreay is having a crazy 2016.
And to think he started off in TNA this year. And TNA fans were asking, legitimately asking, like, why would you not go to TNA and instead go to New Japan? That's why. Having like a debut moment where he's introduced by Okada, it's like, well, there you go. That's why. I don't think TNA would have used him at all.
Even if they had pushed him heavily, like, New Japan's just a bigger company. Especially at this point, in TNA's low swing and New Japan's relative high swing that they've been on the last few years.
Yeah, well, we're definitely worried about TNA, but that's not an issue anymore.
I talked to people who when Will was just starting up in his brief run with TNA, his two-show run, three-show run,
matches
whatever.
Or something. Aren't
his very short run with TNA, someone had told me that he was being shuffled out of certain British pictures because he was going to be abroad a lot more. I put two and two together and got five and figured out that he was going to TNA and signing with TNA. And I was so upset. I thought he was wasting all his potential. And then Dave comes out that he's going to... He's going to New Japan, and that's why he was being shuffled out of the RevPro title picture and the Progress title picture and dropping all his other belts that he was holding, which is the best move for him, and it's the logical next move.
It's the best place to go, really is.
It perfectly suits his style.
Super Juniors is going to be lit. cannot wait.
So we done there with Rev Pride.
Yeah.
Ollie, you're going to talk us through the 16 karat gold field.
Yeah. Before we go for the people who are in the tournament, we'll talk about the people who aren't in the tournament. There's been a few dropouts since the lineup was first announced. Robert Dreisker of I think he broke his leg, or he's had like a pretty significant injury, something along those lines. He's been replaced by his stablemate Ilya Dragunov in Cerberus, and I think that's an improvement. Dragunov is a crazy wrestler; like he puts his body on the line all the time, and I'd actually love to see him live. He's one of the people who I would really want to see live out of everyone in the wrestling world. So that is one replacement. And then two big names dropped out. Daisuke Sakamoto got replaced by Drew Galloway. And Tommy N, the defending champion, had to leave due to injury, so he's been replaced by Silas Young. And Young and Galloway are matching up in the first round. Do we want to run through the whole first round, or just go one by one and get everyone's opinions on the people in them and the matchups?
Let's go one by one.
All right, so Young...
Do the 1 to 10 gimmick.
Yeah.
Young Galloway. See them.
Young Galloway. Or just Young.
So this match would have been Sakamoto and End before.
Yeah.
How much more excited would you have been for Sakamoto and End? And I've recently, you know, I said 20 minutes ago that I'm not the biggest fan of End in singles matches, but...
But Sakamoto.
Yeah, I mean, I like both Young and Galloway, but I'm nowhere near as excited as I would have been.
Yeah, when they announced Sakamoto was going to be there again, I considered buying tickets because I like him that much. But then he dropped out, so I didn't have to worry about it. Again, like Galloway's really good. He's been good ever since he left WWE. It's like that was kind of the turning point in his career. I really like Silas Young. I think he's got a great gimmick. Galloway's probably got a bit too much... size for him to do too much in that match, but yeah, compared to Sakamoto and End, it's all right.
Yeah, I'd go about 5 on this match, but I'm excited to see Galloway. I think he's a great fit into who else is in the tournament.
Yeah, I'll probably throw a 6. I'm into the match, but I would have just been more into what it replaced.
Yeah, I guess 6 on that as well.
Okay, second match, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Big Daddy Walter. Zack Daddy implode.
That sums it up quite well. I really can't see these two working too well together. Their styles really don't scream that they'd mesh to me. And I'm not sure if you get a similar feel, guys.
The thing with Sabre is he's so technically good that it almost doesn't matter who he works. He's that good that he can kind of, you know, take whatever the other guy's got and, you know, take... It's almost like Flair. It's like he can have that same match with almost anybody, and it's just how good it is depends on how good the other person is at hanging with the reversals. So he can out-wrestle anyone. He can really work the mat with anybody. That match with Agao when he was leaving Noah showed that. I really want to say Agara and Walter are a similar sort of level of technical skill, because they're not. But Sabre does have that ability. Then again, if I was picking opponents for him, I probably wouldn't pick Walter. So, I don't know, that's probably a 5 for me. I guess if you follow WXW and you're more into them as a tag team, then it's probably got more going for it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, what they do together. Like, Sabre Jr. tends to have a lot of fun with tag partners in singles matches. Think back to the Skrull match in the Super Strong Style semi-final in Progress last year. It was kind of like a lot of, like, comedy in that match. So they might go more towards that angle, but they also might just kick the crap out of each other. I'm excited to see what they do. I'll go 6.
I'm probably four. I'm really not that into this. But I'm at least intrigued to see how the matches worked, even if I'm not necessarily looking forward to the match itself that much.
Okay, should we go third match?
Third match.
Sure.
Okay, Will Ospreay versus Shane Strickland. What do we think?
Ah, kill shot.
Yep. I think we're allowed to unmask him there because he unmasks himself on his own Twitter profile, so
yeah, that should be good. I mean, Ospreay against anyone at the moment, it is good. Strickland's got a lot of skill. It should be a very good match. I'd say, like, first round, you're looking at the first round fixtures, as it were, that's in the top half, I'd say, the matches I want to see. I'll go 7 on that.
Definitely. It's not a match I've ever, before seeing the card, I've gone, yeah, I really want to see a Strickland versus Ospreay match. But they have two guys whose styles will probably fit each other really well, and I can't imagine it being bad. Yeah, I'm probably about
7-2. Yeah, I'll go 7 on this one as well. Ospreay should be in line for like a big tournament run here, right? He's the man on everyone's lips right now, so.
Yeah, the only thing kind of holding it against him is I didn't think he was great going through Bowler. It looked like he got, I don't know if he picked up an injury there, but he looked really fatigued going through. It might just be that it was too hot for him. I mean,
I thought that was selling.
I think he was kind of gassed, but I put that down to the temperature in the building because it's like an oven. So maybe the European climate will be more to his liking.
I thought he did really well in the tournament environment, the Super Strong style. So, you know, that's perhaps point. More comparable.
We'll move on. Should we move on to Kim Ray versus Sami Callihan?
I think he will match up with Callihan quite well from the little I've seen. I don't pretend to be any sort of WXW expert. I've maybe seen two or three matches from him, but he strikes me as a guy Callihan can work well with. And I'm a big fan of Callihan. Thought he was really wasted in NXT, and I'm interested to see what he can do here. Hope he puts a run together.
Yeah, it's quite rare that people go into NXT and just get kind of like nothing really when they come in good and then nothing happens. It's kind of disappointing because you kind of think everything over there is firing well, working. So yeah, that was disappointing. Solomon Crow run, it didn't go at all well.
Well, he just took so long to debut, and by the time he debuted, it you know, he'd lost all the buzz he had from his indie run because he'd been there like 18 months without doing anything.
He also had the worst finisher I've ever seen.
Sorry?
He also had the worst finisher I've ever seen.
I don't even remember what it was.
He like...
Like a splash off the ropes, but standing.
I really don't remember that.
Like, leans back against the ropes, and then that kind of slingshots him forward into a standing splash.
That sounds terrible. I've watched his matches in NXT. Why can't I remember that? I must have blocked
because he never
that out.
Won.
Oh, he's well, that's his point. He did lose quite a lot. Yeah, I think he's got to work a little bit to kind of get that run out of his system. Like Matt Sydal, when he came out of WWE, he wasn't great for about 6 months, and then all of a sudden, he kind of worked the ring rust off, and it was in good shape again. I know Sammy's been working while he was in NXT, so it shouldn't be as much of a problem. He certainly looked pretty good in Evolve at the start of the year.
Definitely.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah, so I'll go with 6.
4.
Oh, no.
4.
Not a Sammy fan.
Nah, he doesn't really do much for me.
Shot down in flames.
Moving on to Trevor Lee and Angelico. That should be pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's an interesting mixture of skills they've got there. Angelico, I'm not really that into Lucha. I do like it when it's good, and Angelico is good enough that, you know, he's kind of got my attention. Trevor Lee, I'd say, is more a wrestler up my alleyway, even though I don't really like the personality he comes across with. It just seems overly, like, I don't even know what the word, like, rednecky. And I don't think he really needs to do that. I think he's fine getting over on work alone. But it should be a good mixture of styles in there. I'm pretty sure they could work with each other. They're globetrotters, both of them, so they should be good.
I think in terms of, like, the high-flying matchup, it will be as good as Ospreay Strickland, but it should still be pretty interesting.
Trevor Lee had a very good match with Will Ospreay at not the most recent All-Star Weekend, but the most recently released one anyway. And Angelico is a similar-ish style as Ospreay. Probably more, slightly more spotty.
He's a bit more gangly.
He's more of a big spot guy. Which is saying something, because Ospreay is a big, high-flying guy. But I can imagine them working well together. I'm probably about a 7 for this.
Yeah, I'll go 7 as well. Ilya Dragunov versus Mike Bailey.
I'm really into this one. I'm a big fan of both guys. I haven't seen as much as I'd like to have from Dragunov, and that's obviously my own fault, but I could see these two working really well together. This is my most anticipated first round match. I'm probably about... probably an 8.
Yeah, I'll say it's my most anticipated first round match as well, and go 8 as well. completely copying Rob there.
Based on the hype, yeah, I'd be up there. But I really haven't seen very much of Dragunov at all, so I need to see more of him. The guys in this tournament, I think he's probably the guy I've seen the least of.
I feel like this would be a very good introduction, though. Like, I feel him and Bailey are gonna just stiff each other quite a lot, and like really create hard-hitting, brutal match. I could see this getting ugly, but also beautiful at the same time. Beautifully ugly.
Beauty
in
combat.
Yeah. Next up, Sasha Keel versus the winner of the Road to 16 Carat League, my favourite wrestler in the whole world, Timothy Thatcher.
Did he find you after the last podcast? Or...
he has not found me yet. No, I'm in hiding.
That's probably for the best. Well, I like Timothy Thatcher. I don't know. It's going to be like a mat-based... it might be the most mat-based match in the first round. But I mean, I like that. So I'll go 6.
I will skip it, because I've got to the point where I skip all Thatcher matches, because I've watched enough of them to realise I don't get what he does. He's too dry for me.
He's a wrestler. He
wrestles boringly. So yeah, 0.
I'll go 0 on this as well, because Sasha Keel doesn't really do much for me. He had a really crappy match with UHA Nation in last year's tournament. And if you can't have a good match with UHA Nation, I don't think they'll mesh very well either, and yeah.
No positives at all.
The last match is an
interesting... At least he gets one of them at the tournament.
But it keeps one of them in.
That's true.
Oh dear, glass half full, glass half empty. The last match in the first round is an interesting one. It's an I Quit match between Marty Scurll and Axel Dieter Jr., who have been feuding for a while in WXW. What do you think of this one?
I would have really been looking forward to this match if it wasn't an I Quit match, because I think these two are two guys who can have a really good just standard rules match in a non-hardcore environment. I think they mesh really well. And they probably have had a singles match, I just haven't seen it. but it'd be nice to have that at the bigger stage at the 16 carat, which is really for WXW the time when they've got most eyes on them every year. I'm not usually a huge fan of I Quit matches. They don't usually do a lot for me, but it will probably be at least good because both these guys are very good. Skull's been having one hell of a year. He's definitely won me over completely. Before I thought he was good, not great. His January and February have definitely changed my opinion on that. So let's go 6 again for that one. Looking forward to it, but would have been looking forward to it more if it wasn't an I Quit match.
Yeah, I can see that. It certainly requires like knowledge of the build to understand why it's an I Quit match. But I think they can do some good stuff with this. I think like both guys have submission finishes, so they can work that into the I Quit stuff. I don't think it like the I Quit stipulation will like make the match too weird or get in the way of them having a good match. I think they can work it into it rather than working around it. And I think it's a good way to like establish Dieter Jr. by beating a guy like Skrull and advancing forward, because Dieter Jr. is probably the favourite to win the whole tournament. Does anyone else have any hot tips for the winner?
Dieter Jr. was the guy I was thinking would win. We were discussing before we started recording how little German representation there was in this tournament. There was originally going to be 3 guys, and then one of them dropped out, so now we're down to just Axel Dieter Jr. and Kim Ray?
Kim Ray, yeah, that's it.
Kim Ray. And that's it, and you'd have to imagine at least one of them has a good run, and I think Dieter Jr. is probably the guy to do that. They usually put over a homegrown WXW guy pretty strong in the tournament, and I think Dieter Jr. is the one that makes most sense for that to happen. You've got Walter, who's always pushed pretty strong by WXW, but I don't feel like it would make too much sense to give him the win again. I say again, I think he's won it before.
Yeah.
Couldn't name a year, but Sabre Jr.'s always a chance, because he's in, especially now he doesn't have his NOAH commitments, he's in WXW enough that you could see him doing it.
I think
I definitely wouldn't have him as favourite, but I think there's a chance.
I think Ospreay is certainly a contender with all the buzz he's getting. He should still be able to appear for them. I could see him winning this one as well.
I can't see him winning it, but I think there's a good chance he has a good run and then puts over Dieter Jr. to, you know, perhaps in the final. Do we actually have the brackets, or is it just first round matches?
I've only seen a list. I haven't seen a bracket.
Yeah, I haven't seen a bracket either. I think they just do it like at random, higgledy piggledy. It's not like they're running down the bracket in match order or anything.
No bracket we can find then. Also on this weekend of shows, you've got a three-way match between Bad Bones, Carsten Beck, and Absolute Andy.
What a tremendous name that is.
That's kind of the European WXW homegrown guys who aren't in the tournament but are pushed all together in one match. I'm not the biggest fan of Bad Bones. Carsten Beck's okay. Andy's pretty good.
He's could absolute.
Be all right. Could be alright. He definitely is. Absolutely pretty good. And then we've got Blue Pants also making an appearance.
Ah, Lever.
Yeah. Don't care. Looks like a pretty good tournament. We've got, do we have any dream matches we'd like to see out of the potential field for the tournament in later rounds?
Ospreay versus Dragunov jumps out.
Yeah. Pretty much Ospreay against anyone's fine by me.
I'd like to see Sami Callihan versus, well, I would say Skrull, but I think he's probably going out in the first round, so.
Galloway, maybe? That'd be fun.
Could be good, could be good. Deese Jr. versus Callihan sounds fun. There's a lot of good matches on paper, but there's not too many that I'm going, yes, I really, really want to see that. And there were there.
Last year there was Sabre Jr. versus Axel Tisha straight off the bat, and that was a really awesome match, and the send-off for Tisha in WXW. So that was the one that leaped out last year. There's nothing that like leaps out this year like that.
If Sekimoto hadn't have pulled out, there would have been so many.
Yeah.
every match.
So, yeah, basically,
every Sekimoto match is a dream match.
His match in every round, unless he faced Thatcher.
Which I would want to see anyway. So every match is a dream match.
Or Keel. I expect it would be a very consistent tournament, but maybe not with quite the really high-end stuff. Although, there's matches that we're probably sleeping on that could be really good. You know, Trevor Lever, Sami Callihan, you could easily see them going 4 stars, but it's not something that jumps out at you or anything. But yeah, should be a fun weekend of shows.
Okay. There's a match that's gone up on, I want to say YouTube. It was YouTube, wasn't it?
It was YouTube, yeah.
Between Will Ospreay and Chris Ridgeway from Shropshire Wrestling Association, I want to say.
It might be Alliance. It doesn't matter anyway because they've closed.
Oh, have they?
they've closed and, well, they've been absorbed into the VII family or the Seven family. I'm not sure.
That explains why it says Seven in the corner on the video, which I kind of looked at that.
It's numerals. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be pronounced VII or
I think
seven,
it's probably
but,
think it's Seven.
It's probably Seven Wrestling. I'm not sure what the Seven refers to, but they've been booking some good cards, and they were towards the end of when they were Shropshire Wrestling A, whatever the A was, shows how prepared we are.
Cage Match says it's Alliance.
Ah, I nailed it then. I nailed it.
Yes, so I was wrong.
And I saw this match pop up in YouTube as a free match. Gave it a watch. And thought it was really good. Especially considering it's 2 22-year-olds facing off against each other. Neither of them that experienced. Ospreay taking the role of the more experienced guy in a match.
I didn't realise when I saw it how inexperienced Ridgeway really is. I mean, he was literally like a year into his career at the point when it took place, which was like last June, was it? Last summer?
Last summer, definitely, I think. Definitely, I think. What a great phrase. but that's the thing that really impressed me. And it kind of leads into one of our questions, which we're going to be answering in a minute. I thought Ridgeway really showed a lot of potential in this match. And at the same time, Ospreay was really good at kind of guiding him through it. It's not a match that's going to show up on any Match of the Year lists, but for a guy who's 1 year or maybe a year and a half into his wrestling career, I thought this was a tremendous performance and well worth checking out. Perhaps went a little long.
I was worried to begin with at the start of the match. It's a really small venue. There's like, 50 people there. And I've seen a lot of shows in venues like that. And the temptation is to, well, for starters, take it easy because no one's watching. But secondly, you see these small venue things kicking in where they'll try and play with the crowd that are there because that's what they've got to play with. And about a minute in, Ridgeway is kind of complaining of a hair pull. And I'm getting like the Memphis from the 70s vibe from it. And I was worried. And then I had a bit of a chat when they were in chin lock. And it got a lot better after that. So I don't know what they were talking about. But it the moves that they were doing were, for Ospreay, it's not a surprise, but for him to be working somebody so inexperienced and having a match of that quality, I was very impressed.
Yeah, I saw this match as well. I thought, like, Ridgeway, he couldn't quite keep up with Ospreay, which is why I mentioned, like, earlier that Ryan Smile is just, like, pace for pace with Ospreay. But he can't really hold that against him since he is, like, so young and inexperienced. But he certainly showed potential. I know he was, like, a last-minute replacement on the Tetsujin Shoot Style show. So, like, he is known, he's, like, putting his name out there, and, like, us talking about this match is, like, something to go out of your way to go and see. Certainly shows that he has potential to be a star in the future.
Definitely one to keep your eye on. There were one or two moments in this match where it did feel like he was rushing somewhat, but you can kind of forgive him for that, being how inexperienced he is, and working a guy getting the same level as hype as Ospreay is, even was at that time, it big opportunity for him, and I thought he really delivered. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go out and check it. Go and check it out, even.
Mm. Yeah, I'd probably skip over the start, like the first couple of minutes is a little bit rough, but after that it's all good.
And then the last few were a little bit overkill, and you can tell it's two 22-year-olds going out there.
Yeah,
the Essex Destroyer, the bump on that was not good. It felt like everything had gone a bit wonky at that point, but they were doing some really good stuff in the match. There's some good ideas. I'll leave it at that, and you can go and watch it.
I thought they held it together pretty well after that. You know, there was that point when the Essex Destroyer went a bit wrong, and you thought, oh, this match is going to fall completely apart now. But they managed to pull it back together relatively quickly, from what I can remember.
Yeah, it's pretty much on the next sequence, I think. Ospreay showed a lot of maturity in this one. He's heading into sort of more of a ring general phase of his career already, which is terrifying because he's 22.
Also, I thought this match was like since it's a free match and anyone can view it, like it's a good way to like get a window into like these lower or mid-level UK indies. Like if you've only ever seen Rev Pro or Progress, but like want to like go deeper, this is like a good entryway into that because it just shows you like a talent in Ridgeway who has you've never seen him before on any of those like big companies. Then like just like talking about the OTT show and the show I watched today, the 4FW show with Kenny Omega and some other big stars, Pentagon Jr. and Drago. Like, just seeing what else the UK has to offer other than the big three is interesting. And this is like a free way of looking at in that if you don't want to make the money investment.
And it really opened my eyes up to Ridgeway because He wasn't someone who I was particularly was keeping tabs on before this, and he's definitely someone I want to see him get opportunities in other places now because it'd be nice to see him play working like the level above where he is because I think he's you know if he's working the SWEs the attacks that'd be a good spot for him at the moment and then eventually in like he'd be a good addition to next year's or later this year's Natural Progression series, for example.
Yeah, New York, the whatever it's called, the Global Force, whatever they're doing over here, and you work that.
Yeah, the
worked a match on that tour.
Magnus and Jarrett shows.
Yeah, he's worked the undercard on one of those.
All good experience. All good experience, I imagine. Yeah, so that was just something popped up on YouTube. We thought we'd bring to people's attention. Definitely worth checking out. Leave it in the show notes, a link to the match. And then that's kind of everything we had planned to talk about. A relatively shorter episode so far. So we did throw out on the Voice of Wrestling forums and on Twitter a call for questions. We got a couple, not a huge amount, two exactly, so exactly a couple. two good questions to ask about, and a good plug for the Voice of Wrestling forums. Definitely worth checking out. One of the best wrestling forums out there, in my opinion, anyway. If in future episodes we do find ourselves topic light, we will be asking for questions on there again, I imagine. So the first question we had from Voice of Wrestling staff member Garrett Kidney. He was nice enough to get the ball rolling after a while of no questions at all. He asked, with the increasing likelihood that many of the most vaunted wrestlers in the UK indie scene right now will attract further international attention, who do you guys see stepping up and filling the void they may leave? So I think what he's kind of getting at here is that Ospreay is going to be in the UK less. He's still going to be there, but you can't really build around him fully anymore. And you've kind of noticed that everyone's taken their titles off of him. He's been shuffled out of the RevPro title scene. He's taken the belt off him in Progress. Guys like Skrull and Sabre Jr., they're getting their big breaks over in the US, and you wouldn't be shocked to see them over in the Global Cruiserweight Series on the WWE Network, especially since RevPro and Progress have both been linked.
Name dropped by
Triple H himself as promotions that could they're going to be sourcing talent from and scouting talent from, and you'd have to imagine Sabre Jr. and Skrull would be at least close to the top of the list there, and I think you could probably also throw in Haskins there. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw all three of them in the Cruiserweight series. And then from there, who knows what might happen? We may see them end up in NXT, depending on how they perform, depending on what mood the hires are at that time. So the question's kind of asking, who do we see as the next stage of the UK indies? Because this current crop has impressed so much that they're probably not going to be around for too much longer.
Well, with them, I mean, it's been a long time coming for Sabre Jr. and Skrull. I mean, they've been working the UK scene for like 10 years. So this is not something that's really happened overnight for them, whereas Ospreay has been a lot quicker. So it's kind of hard to say how much longer they're going to be here. But if we are assuming that they're going to go, it's kind of tough to pick people coming up. I mean, Ospreay, when I first saw him, was kind of, you know, an opening act guy, did a lot of flips. There aren't too many wrestlers out there at the moment, apart from, like, I don't want to say Flash Morgan Webster, that does a lot of flips, who's like an opening match guy.
It should stay that way.
Oh yeah, I'm not suggesting that that he should be moved at the card, but there are a lot of very solid wrestlers who can expand upon their current repertoire. I think El Ligero is kind of unused in Progress. He's doing very well as a heel, but if anyone who's seen him from before that, when he wrestled in singles, he's a very good wrestler. We kind of like Ashton Smith. Tyler Bates, another guy that's tickled our fancy. Mm. I think that he's very young, but then so was Will Ospreay. I think it's just opened up a world of potential out there for people to step into those spots. Jack Gallagher is somebody I really need to mention.
If we look at the OTT main event, the two guys who aren't going to New Japan soon, Ryan Smile and Pete Dunne, they're both absolute standout acts who I've been watching for a while now, and they keep getting better and better every time I see them. Like, Ryan Smile could very easily fill in a role as, like the new Will Ospreay as, like, a babyface, but he's also fantastic as a heel. Like, he's just got such great charisma. Maybe that only translates in a small venue. I don't know how it would translate in somewhere like the York Hall or Electric Ballroom, but I'm sure, like, he has lots of talent and he could make that work. So Ryan Smile is definitely someone who has never gotten, like, a big opportunity in a big company who I would like to see. Pete Dunne, like, he's getting this push in Rev Pro, and he's making the most of that. So those are two guys who are exciting and I could talk about all day for. But we all know the true future of Brit Rest is Dahlia Black, so.
From New Zealand. Thinking about this question, I think if somehow later in this year, Ospreay, for whatever reason, becomes a full-time in New Japan and isn't in the UK at all, for, you know, there's a chance that happens. I don't think it's going to, but, and then Skrull, Haskins, and Sabre Jr. all get snapped up by NXT after the Cruiserweight series. Not saying it's going to happen again, but
I'd say it's unlikely, but
possibility. weirdly high possibility, you know, even thinking about 2 years. I think if that happened, there would definitely be a significant dip in quality. Because after those four guys, I think there's a bit of a fairly sizable gap at the moment. And there's a lot of guys coming up like Chris Ridgeway, like Pete Dunne, like Tyler Bate, like Pastor William Eva, who are showing a lot of potential. But I do get the feeling that they're like 1 or 2 years at least. Maybe not Pete Dunne. I think Pete Dunne's probably the closest.
It's not even so much the time that's involved. It's the matches that they haven't had.
Yes, that's true.
I think if they had the opportunity to work with the likes of Ospreay, Skrull, Haskins, I think you'd see something out of all of those guys. I think they're capable of stepping it up, but they need to have those matches before they can't, if you know what I mean. I think all the British promotions are going to have to start booking for the future.
Stuff that made, yeah, the matches that made Ospreay were probably the Sydal matches. If you can kind of almost draw a line before and after the Sydal matches, and you can notice a huge improvement. Whether that improvement would have happened anyway, who's to say? But because Ospreay, you've got Ospreay, Skrull, Sabre Jr., Haskins on top, and they're the guys getting the big international matches at the moment. Guys like Pete Dunne, maybe less so. Josh Bowden was another name.
The alternative is, of course, bringing people in from outside to work with the young guys and get them ready, which I noticed Pete Dunne worked, I want to say Sanjay Dutt. So that's that's the kind of thing that the British promotions need to do, is get those young guys ready, have them work more experienced wrestlers who work in a different variety of styles from all over the world, to get them ready to step up and take those spots when they become available.
And to be fair, I think that is happening. You mentioned Pete Dunne working Sanjay Dutt. He's recently been announced to be facing ACH on the next Rev Pro, next big Rev Pro show, which is a good match for him, and a good match in general. Match I'm looking forward
to. Andy Corden, he knows what he's doing.
He does. Apart from booking Buff Bagwell,
but he didn't. He did actually realize his mistake.
He did. He didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
So I think our general feeling towards that question is there's guys who can fill the roles, but they're not ready yet. And hopefully over the next year or so, they will be elevated to the point where they are ready, both in terms of skill and aura. Because you can't really put a Tyler Bate in a Progress main event currently because he hasn't beaten anyone. And he wouldn't feel right. But, you know, give him a couple of wins under his belt, and in 6 months, who knows? Who knows?
I think that the one guy that we've got who's capable of carrying a promotion and carrying, like, series of matches against people would be El Ligero. So I would probably be looking to lean towards Ligero in between, you know, while others were being built up.
I don't think I'm as high on Ligero as you. I see him as a very, you know, it's a phrase that's overused, but I see him as a very good hand. He's a guy who can have a good match with anyone, but I haven't seen that many matches which have truly been great from him. He's a guy who would be a solid fill-in, but I wouldn't want to rely on him for too long, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, that'd be a guy you could kind of lean on for a while.
He's definitely not the future, but he could be there for a couple of months while you wait. I can agree with that, yeah.
There's one guy who we've sort of forgotten over the past few months who's a bit like Ligero in that he's a bit of a veteran, but he's also young enough to also kind of be the future. That's Noam Dar. He has legitimacy within, like, all three of the top promotions that he could certainly, like, be a main eventer if, in a pinch, if they needed him.
He's kind of off my radar at the moment, primarily
ICW. This is the thing with
ICW.
They have built guys. They're the of the big three, as it were. They're the one promotion that has built internally, and that they're not afraid of losing anyone, I don't think. Grado is working TNA, but, you know, how long are TNA going to be working a big schedule? He's still working ICW anyway. So the guys that they've built up, they've done a really good job with. Whether anyone else would want to take advantage of that, I've noticed Joe Coffey, work in progress. So who's...
And Damo.
As a tag team.
There are guys out there. The voids are always filled, and they're usually entertaining seeing them filled, as long as it isn't, you know, Flash Morgan Webster and Zach Gibson. I'm sure we'll be fine.
I like Zach. I like Zach.
You're a Liverpool fan.
But he doesn't strike me as the future in, you know. I see him in a similar way as Ligero. But yeah, let's move on to our next question and final question. It's kind of a similar question, really. In your guys' opinion, who is the next wrestler, or who should be the next wrestler from the UK indie who's currently on the UK indie scene that should be booked over in the US indie scene in places like PWG, Evolve, and Chikara? Haskins, I imagine, would be an answer from all three of us.
Yeah, there's not really anyone else that's that ready, is there?
I think Pastor William Eva would get really over in Chikara.
I think PWG. I think they work there as well.
Yeah, that's fair as well. I think both environments would really suit him. In the same way, Dalton Castle, you know, from all reports, was hugely over on his first PWG appearance, just from coming through the curtain. I imagine Eva would be similarly greeted, although he's not a guy I can see being brought over too soon, but I think it would be a good option.
One for the future.
As for Evolve,
maybe Bodum. He'd probably have to figure Gallagher? Out his character. Gallagher, yeah. Gallagher would be good.
Yeah, Gallagher would
fit. I can't really comment too much on the grapple fuckers, but
we banned that word, Rob. You can no longer use that word.
What's wrong with it?
It's the worst thing I've ever heard. It's making wrestling a dirty word.
It's the worst word for the worst style in wrestling.
Oh,
that's harsh. It's better than deathmatch.
Better than deathmatch.
But yeah, I get the sense that Gallagher would fit well in with the Catchpoint team over in Evolve. if you prefer that.
That was much better.
Although apparently Thatcher doesn't like it being called Catch Point, so there you go.
Well, that's probably the better of the two. if it was going to be called something. I personally would just call it wrestling, but...
it's a specific style. Who else would fit well? Would Damo... I'm not sure Damo would be a perfect fit for any of those three companies, really.
I think Damo's a bit British, you know.
A better fit in Ring of Honor.
Damo would fit perfectly in Japan. But not in America, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, maybe Ring of Honor, but probably not the others. He doesn't really have a style that lends itself to... PWG crowds like very specific things, and he doesn't do any of them.
Who else?
Dahlia Black.
Yep, sure. I'd love to see her in Shimmer. Or Shine.
Yeah.
Or... I can't think of any other women's promotions. AIW in a match against another woman. Careful, clarify. Clarification. There we go. Or Pollyanna, for that matter.
I feel like
she'd do well.
Pollyanna's style and just the way she presents herself would fit very well into Shimmer and Shine.
I think probably Ginny in a year. See how she comes on. Certainly her personality's come around really well.
Yeah. I don't think she's quite there wrestling-wise yet, but she's definitely on the right path. And I don't think you'd want her to go over now
when she's not
quite the finished product.
It's always better to wait until you can actually make a real lasting impression. There's people who go to a big promotion too soon. It kind of leaves a mark on them of, you know, oh, they weren't ready, send them back, and then you don't come back.
Pete Dunne would be fun in all three, I guess.
Yeah,
although I think he already has been in Chikara a bit.
Yeah, Pete Dunne and I think a few others in that scene, Dan Maloney, Tyler Bate, they all went to King of Trios. I'll try and remember the full lineup, but I can't right now, so we'll move on. But
I think MK went over McKinnon.
He might have. Flash Morgan might have as well.
Yeah, Flash Morgan did.
Yeah, and maybe Damian Dunn as well. I think those were six. Trent Seven went over.
Yes.
It's not MK McKinnon, Trent Seven, but yeah. Pete Dunn, out of all those guys, I think would fit in PWG and Evolve really well. So, Pete Dunn, I think, is just a universal answer for like who's gonna be a future star in 2 or 3 years. Like he's got all the tools
to bet on.
Yeah.
Noam Dar would fit well in Evolve, I think. Have I dropped connection?
No.
We're just pondering it.
I was just thinking about it.
All pondering Noam Dar and Evolve. Yeah, I think he's got a technical enough style. That's probably doing him a disservice. He's a very good technical wrestler. I think he fit really well in Evolve. But he could also mix up with the Johnny Garganos and Sammy Callahan's of Evolve too. He's very versatile, and I think he'd fit in really well there. Joe Kofi, maybe?
I think his gimmick would go over well.
Point, but...
We're just throwing out all the names.
So I'm just laughing at how much your voice went up at the end of that. Sorry, was that a question? It's definitely a question. How high his voice went. Yeah. So what we're saying is there are plenty of guys that can that have potential.
So even if Ospreay and Skrull and whoever else leave the scene, we still have great depth.
I don't think you're going to lose them like permanently. I mean, Doug Williams still works here. Grado still works here, even though he's with TNA. Mark Andrews still works here. I don't think you're going to lose them permanently. You're just going to lose them as the main fixtures.
The only place you lose them to is WWE.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I could see one or two signings, but I imagine at the very least we'll still have Ospreay this time next year. And he's my favourite anyway. Right, I think we're about wrapping up now. So a slightly abbreviated episode this time, but we managed to stretch it out enough considering we were fairly topic light. Thanks for listening. Head on over to voicesofwrestling.com for all your wrestling reviews and columns and previews and like. And also historyofwrestling.com, gotta be fair to Arn, and 411 Mania.
It's historyofwrestling.weebly.com. Oh. I don't know why it doesn't have like a direct, but that's because we can't afford it, is why it doesn't have a direct link, but yeah, it's got there's a Weebly in the middle of it.
My apologies. Yes, I was about to wrap up completely, but that just reminded me plugs are probably something we should be doing. Ollie, do you want to start?
Yeah, F4W Euro newsletter for all your Euro news needs. We've been talking a lot about WXW and the myriad of lineup changes over the last few weeks. So, yeah, looking forward to 16 Carat. And you can find me at Twitter at Another Ollie.
You can find me on Twitter at the RW. And probably before the next episode, I have a BritRes set of articles in the works set to come out on Voice of Wrestling for you to keep an eye out on. Basically, covering all the major and semi-major promotions of the scene, giving you a bit of a guide, and letting people know who live in the UK and may not be aware that they have a great wrestling promotion right on their doorstep, hopefully pointing them in the right direction. That should start coming out sometime in March, depending on if I find the right people to get live perspectives from. Voice of Wrestling is the hub for all my stuff, pretty much. Arn?
Yeah, you follow me at Arnold Furious on Twitter. Reviews are over at historyofwrestling.weebly.com, and that's it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will probably be back towards the middle / end of March to be previewing the next Progress show, chapter 7. Numbers are hard. I've said thanks for listening about 6 times by now, so thanks for listening again, and see you next time.
Cheers.